Sri Lanka's pleas for financial assistance have finally been answered. The country, crushed by widely protested economic mismanagement, spiralling inflation, soaring energy prices and depleted cash reserves, last year defaulted on its debts for the first time in history. But after a year of negotiations, the International Monetary Fund has thrown the country a multi-billion dollar lifeline, much to the relief of the government in Colombo.
This was a very crucial approval for us and was a much needed approval. We don't want to continue like this. So we want to become a country with debt sustainability. So that is our aim and the goal. So we want to be debt sustainable as soon as possible.
That's Sri Lanka's finance minister, Shehan Semasinga. The news comes as one of the country's most well-known businessmen is currently here in Australia. Dilhan Fernando is the CEO of Dilma Tea and joins us this morning from Sydney. Welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you.
The IMF bailout is worth nearly $5 billion Australian dollars. Is that enough to resurrect the country's economy?
No, absolutely not. It is a step in the right direction because we currently need, of course, debt sustainability, as the minister mentioned, but that involves a series of actions, primarily ensuring the sustainability of our economy. And that includes restructuring state-owned enterprises, which have really affected the viability of Sri Lanka as an economy. Sri Lanka is an incredibly rich and potential nation in terms of its natural resources, produce, human resources, etc. But mismanagement is what has brought us to this point. So the IMF support signals, first of all, that the country is headed in the right direction under President Ranil Wickremesinghe. And that the acceptance that the initiatives that have taken place since the crisis are the right ones. Of course, they have been harsh, but we have a difficult road ahead. So we are by no means patting ourselves on the back and saying it's a job well done, because the hard work remains to be done.
The first $500 million will arrive in coming days. What should that be used for?
Well, initially, it'll be used for a combination of things. We have a lack of essential items. We need medicines. There are issues in education, but also there are certain... a lot of our debt has been restructured. So with China, Japan, India agreeing, we have a lifeline there. So the process is still ongoing. So it's not hard and fast by any means, because having only just received the good news, the teams, our economic and political teams in Sri Lanka are working hard at trying to figure out the priorities. And at this point, I must tell you, there's a multitude of priorities. The queues that you saw on television and you spoke of on radio last year are gone through a combination of technology and through systems that have been put in place to try to address that situation. So it could be technologically driven, it could be exports, but it is also tourism, and it is significantly the restructuring process which has already begun.
Aside from the cash injection, what are the other benefits from the IMF investment?
I think most of all, it is an indication to the international community that Sri Lanka is back on the road to recovery. The process of negotiation with the bilateral lenders was complicated politically and economically, but also by the global circumstances. The world today is by no means the same as when Sri Lanka entered this crisis, but also the fact that there has been tumultuous developments in Sri Lanka, where the people had drawn a line in the sand, so to speak, and indicated their rejection of a certain type of corruption and feudal politics. So it was an extremely complicated situation. But this is an indication that Sri Lanka is back in business, and it gives tremendous confidence to us as Sri Lankan businesses that we can continue to invest in the nation, that we have the support of the international community.
The government will also raise funds partially by privatising the national airline. How far will that go, given the carrier recently offloaded more than $1 billion in debt to the government?
Well, It'll go to significantly. But it's not only that privatization of Sri Lankan Airlines. It is also telecom. It is the involvement in healthcare and so on. So the government has its involvement in a multitude of these. But shedding some of the debt or some of the burden on the treasury that these impose year and year again, that will go significantly towards addressing Sri Lanka's sustainability in the future. But of course, it's not something that will come easy. And this is why we are at the beginning of a road, but nevertheless, beginning of an upward trajectory, because we still have to address the human, the social aspects of all this restructuring.
Sri Lanka's president has essentially postponed local elections by refusing to fund the vote, saying it would be disastrous to hold the polls during an economic crisis. Do you agree with those delays?
Well, at this point, one of the prerequisites of this assistance is stability. And if there were to be a new set of eyes and ears in the seats, in the economic and the treasury and other units, then you can be sure that the process would be delayed and we would have certainly a negative impact on this entire process of recovery. So, yes, I would agree.
Opposition MPs have accused the president of sabotaging democracy. Is the delay undemocratic, though?
Well, the president made a request and said he needs a year to correct the worst issues in the economy. And those worst issues are expressed in the lack of adequate medicines and food and so on. So they are critical from a human standpoint. And I think his request was fair. So as a business community and as a businessman, of course, we are 100% behind democracy and we need democracy. Sri Lanka is one of the oldest democracies in Asia. However, at this point, we are in a situation that is critical. So the president has validated his request by having come to this point and achieved this. However, if there were to be any change in policy, and for instance, if there were to be a change in the privatization decisions of state-owned enterprises, then you can be sure that this could begin to unwind. So yes, at this point, we need stability. We need the right economic direction because we need to be able to feed our people and we need to be able to ensure that our hospitals are adequately stocked.
Last year, the country was racked by food and fuel shortages. As one of the country's most well-known business people, you're far from the average Sri Lankan, to be fair. But what is the current state of the country?
It's challenging. I must say that while Sri Lanka is open to tourism and a typical visitor might not notice much by way of change, there is a situation where we have a brain drain that has affected businesses. So certainly that has created an issue. There are businesses that are failing as a result of the economic situation, as a result of the limitations that have been imposed. But I believe that taking the excess that Sri Lanka has got used to in the past, this is a necessary step towards our economic viability and certainly towards prosperity, because Sri Lanka is a rich nation. We were a rich nation and we have been bled by mismanagement, by corruption. But I think the people made their case quite compellingly, but the political response that we have seen has been encouraging and now compounded by the IMF and what they have done for the future of Sri Lanka by giving us this lifeline. So I think right now it's up to us to make the best of a bad situation.
Just specifically on your own business interests, you took over the company from your father just before the pandemic. We know the last few years, while difficult for people, have been incredibly profitable for some businesses, like supermarkets, for instance. How has Dilma fared over the last 3 years?
Well, we didn't close or shut down operations at any point during the crisis, in spite of the energy and multitude of other crises. So as an export-driven business, we have done well. We have enjoyed growth, but that is off a low base because during the pandemic, certainly our business suffered. Yet at the same time, because our business funds over 150 humanitarian projects through my father's commitment to serving humanity, we have been able to build hospitals, build schools, fund medicines and the like. So I think the responsibility on businesses in general is also to support the government in ensuring that not only our own workers, but in the wider community, that we take care of them. The nutrition requirements, the supporting the essential medication, importing access to dollars and so on. But that situation has eased significantly. So I would say we have emerged from the crisis stronger, better, and now our responsibility is to serve the country.
Dilhan, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's been an honour. Thank you.
Dilhan Fernando is the CEO of Dilmar Tea, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.